Thank you, Joel. Gary Martin will be next. Anyway, passed over. I didn't see. Is it Janet or Janae DaCosta from Driscoll's? Are they in the room? Okay. Then after Gary, we'll go with Janet Smith.
Chairman Conaway, gentlemen. My name is Gary Martin. Family's been farming in Fresno County for over 80 years. We currently farm Pima cotton, minimum till.
Just get closer.
We okay with that?
Yep, there you go.
Sorry about that. We're also growing almonds, drip, micro sprinklers, alfalfa, supported by solar power for our ag wells and lift pumps. For the last 3 years, market returns from cotton and cottonseed have fallen short of the total cost of production. These costs do not include return to management and family living expenses. When accounting for the minimal federal farm policy support provided for cotton, the last 3 years have seen total costs significantly exceed our returns. These sustained losses in the current period are unlike any in recent U.S. history for cotton. It is my hope that the administration can operate, step forward, and offer farmers like myself a bridge to the next farm bill with the Cotton Gin Cost Share Program. The last administration operated the program is extremely helpful to California growers like myself. It is imperative that comprehensive cotton support that is on par with other commodities be included in Title I of the next farm bill. Conservation programs continue to be extremely popular across the cotton belt. Specifically in California, the EQIP program is critically important in providing us with cost share funding to implement practices to help comply with the litany of regulations we face on our farms. I commend the committee for streamlining conservation programs in the 2014 Farm Bill. This has made it easier for NRCS to administer, more importantly, easier for producers like myself to utilize. These programs have become integral parts of many producers' operations and achieve the goal of protecting and improving the environment while also enhancing production on our operation. As commodity prices have fallen, these cost share programs have become even more important as a way for many producers to help cash flow their operations. I encourage you to continue the robust funding for our working lands cost share programs. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Gary. Janet Smith and then Rudolph Villegas.
In 1983, when I got my first part-time job in high school, I worked with a couple of young Navy wives. I remember that one of the women, a mother of two young daughters, had food stamps. I don't know if she utilized the now eliminated FSSA program or if she was on the program now called SNAP. What I do remember was that despite military housing, subsidized childcare, and having two full-time working parents, their family qualified for food assistance due to the high cost of living in the Silicon Valley. Representative Denham, I know that you were once enlisted in the Air Force. I am certain that you served with families in similar situations. In 2014, the USDA projected 22,000 military families were using SNAP to help support their families. 8% of veterans' families are utilizing the SNAP program. In 2014, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities reported that nearly 100,000 veterans in California alone depended on the SNAP program to feed their families. In addition, more than one quarter of recent veterans reported service-connected disabilities, which can make it harder to provide for their families. Households with a veteran who has a disability that prevents him or her from working are about twice as likely to lack access to adequate food as households that do not include compared to households that do not include someone with a disability. For veterans struggling to overcome obstacles to feed their families, SNAP makes a crucial difference. I am asking all of you to commit to maintaining SNAP funding and refuse to sever the SNAP program from the 2018 Farm Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. It looks like we're going to be able to get all the cards that we have as long as everybody sticks to their 2 minutes, and I appreciate that, Janet. You were under, and so we're going to have Rudolph, and after that, Kimberly Holding.
Good morning, Chairman Conway and members of the Agriculture House Committee. My name is Rudolph Villegas, and I am an executive officer for the Student Senate for California Community Colleges, a nonprofit organization which represents 2.1 million community college students in our state of California. I come to voice a student perspective on the importance of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, contained in the Farm Bill. In a student's daily struggle, one primary consideration is securing stable housing, but even greater to that is the encumbrance to meet the basic necessity of food. Food insecurity is one of the most crippling instabilities to the development of the future workforce of America. SNAP supports low-income Californians, including students, seniors, disabled, children in special circumstances, out-of-work persons, and the general citizenry of this great country. I offer a personal experience to show by comparison the disparity experienced by others which are less fortunate than myself. At reaching the age of 18, I was immediately expelled to the world from my home. With no support but a bit of savvy, thankfully I leaned on the California Community College system to pursue my education and acquire a student worker job serving the public. I slept in the cold parts of San Diego, battling the weather and struggling to survive. At no point did I actually qualify for SNAP, however. The experience opened my eyes to the real struggles and daily realities of others which are of low income, which must have had it way worse than I did. In our particular demographic, I wish to stress the urgency of continued support for programs which assist us in meeting our basic needs. I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee and share my perspective on this important topic and for your consideration when you review this in the Farm Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rudolph. Is Kimberly holding? Okay, then we're going to go Leonard Van Eldren. There we go. And after Leonard, Don Ward.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Van Eldren. I'm president and CEO of Yosemite Farm Credit, part of the Farm Credit System. Last week we were on Capitol Hill, and I think it was a little cooler there than it is here today. We've got $2.5 billion primarily in two counties, the county where you sit today and the county to the south of us, Stanislaus and Merced County. 35% of that loan volume is dairy volume, and our dairymen are struggling, and we just ask that you would address the dairy support in the Farm Bill. We also look at crop insurance, and while we might like to have very cheap corn and very cheap grains for the dairy business, we realize that grain farmers need to survive also and need to have a viable operation. And so we just ask that you would take a look at crop insurance for what it does for the state of California, but also especially where food products come from for the cows that we feed here. We'd ask that you would take a look at FSA guarantee levels. 1.399 million on the guarantee program and 300,000 on the direct program. About a mile from here, we're financing property that's costing about $30,000 to $40,000 an acre. And as you can see, in order to get young, beginning and small farmers off the ground, those guarantees do not go very far or allow us to do much there. But finally, rural infrastructure. Farm Credit has been a proponent for rural infrastructure and bringing people together to support that, and we would ask for your support in that area also. Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard. Don Ward will be up next, and then Nicole Van Vleck.
Good morning, Chairman and Committee. My name is Don Ward, and I'm here with as a Deputy District Volunteer Deputy District Volunteer with the Humane Society of United States, and I'm coming here today to urge you to keep animal welfare in mind when putting together the Farm Bill. The Prevent All Scoring Tactics Act, or H.R. 1847, is a bill that would ban devices integral to the cruelty of horse soaring, strengthen penalties, and end the failed system of industry self-policing and hold abusers accountable. The bill currently has 252 House co-sponsors, including about 80 Republicans, with a half dozen Republican co-sponsors on the House Agricultural Committee, also including Vice Chairman Glenn Thompson and the lead author, veterinarian Ted Yoho. The USDA is an agency responsible for enforcing Horse Protection Act that the PAST Act, or H.R. 1847, amends. So the Farm Bill is a logical place to consider an upgrade to the law. My special thanks go to Representative Denham, since he is a co-sponsor of the PAST Act. Thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Don. We'll have Nicole Van Vleck, and after that, Kimberly Holding.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Nicole Van Vleck, and I'm a farmer in Sutter County, about 45 minutes south of Mr. LaMalfa. I farm with my sister and my parents. I'm representing the California Rice Commission's Producers Committee. We represent 25 rice farmers in California, and I'm the chair of that committee, and I'm also the vice chair of USA Rice Farmers. I want to mention today that the situation in California, as many of you know, for rice, has been significantly challenged in the last few years. In all honesty, when the Farm Bill was signed in 2014, we did not expect a payment to be triggered during the life of the Farm Bill for rice in California. However, as a result of market declines and fluctuation in our acreage over the last few years due to drought first and then flooding last year, we have had significant issues with our market and a steep decline. With that, both the ARC and the PLC will trigger for rice farmers for 2016 and very possibly for 2017. We have safety net needs, two of which are critical. For PLC, the reference price for rice produced in California is far below the cost of production and not equivalent to the level of protection provided for in our other rice-growing regions throughout the United States. We ask that a modification be made, and please note this is supported by USA Rice as well as through an economic analysis provided for by Texas A&M. Rice is also widely recognized for the critical waterfowl and shorebird habitat provided for on our working lands. We have forged many important partnerships with bird conservation groups, including Ducks Unlimited, of which I'm a life member. Their efforts to work with rice growers nationally help deliver Farm Bill conservation programs to working lands. To support these working farms, we need to tweak conservation programs to better meet wildlife needs. Specifically, we need a longer EQIP contract period that is specific for annual wildlife-friendly farming practices. The wildlife would benefit from such a tweak if we could designate 5% of the available EQIP funds for enhancement of long-term health of our American flyways. Rice can help benefit those American flyways. I want to thank you for trying to get the Farm Bill done in a timely fashion. And whether we grow vegetables or rice or dairy, we really need a Farm Bill here in California that works for the diversity of all of California. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Kimberly Holding, and then Rob Vandenheuvel.
Chairman Conway and members of the House Agriculture Committee, my name is Kimberly Holding. I'm the President and CEO of the American Olive Oil Producers Association. I'd like to take a moment to address two market-related challenges before I address the Farm Bill, which are the EU's $3 billion per year subsidies of their olive oil industry, which creates excess supply and exports of olive oil to the U.S., and fraudulent olive oil, which creates marketplace instability. IOPA greatly appreciates the spotlight that many members of this committee have placed on these issues, and we look forward to working with you to address them. Our members across the U.S. utilize a number of the Farm Bill programs, including Conservation, the Market Access Program, and Rural Development. We encourage you to continue authorizing funding for these programs, as well as the specialty crop grant programs that are vital to the growth of our nascent industry. The SCBG program has provided well over $1.2 million for research, education, and marketing efforts to develop our industry in California, Georgia, Texas, and Florida. The SCRI program awarded a $50,000 planning grant to IOPA last year to develop a strategic plan to identify and prioritize our research needs throughout the U.S. This brought together industry leaders and land-grant universities from California, Georgia, Texas, and Florida to work together for the first time. And we're currently working to develop a full SCRI grant that will be a multi-year, multi-institution, multi-million dollar grant. Lastly, I'd like to address crop insurance. It's an important safety net. Our California olive oil producers are eligible for crop insurance, and we encourage the committee to maintain the program's authorization as it currently stands. And we also encourage the committee to amend the adjusted gross income limitations to $2 million, which will expand eligibility for high-value specialty crop farmers such as our olive oil producers. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly. Next, Rob Vandenheuvel, and then Jim Parsons.
Rob Vandenheuvel, representing California Dairies Incorporated, a farmer-owned cooperative made up of 400 California dairy families. In the 2014 Farm Bill, when the Margin Protection Program was created, it was sold to the industry as a move away from picking winners and losers in the industry based solely on farm size into a scenario where we're having a safety net for all farmers, regardless of size. Certainly there are things we can look at in the Margin Protection Program for improvements and tweaks, but a troubling news, as we talked about earlier with one of the previous witnesses, coming out of the Senate Appropriations Committee, looking at some tweaks focused solely on the smaller farmer side of our industry. We got to resist that temptation, certainly with the budget constraints that you all face with the Farm Bill and generally the budget with the Appropriations Committee. The temptation is to take care of the smaller farms because it's a lot more affordable. We've got to look at policies that apply to everybody, but budget constraints doesn't excuse bad policy, and we need a safety net that applies to all farmers who are facing these booms and busts and the volatility of our milk prices and feed commodities. So I wanted to make that point on improvements to the program. California Dairies is very much in line with some of the other cooperatives around the country, National Milk Producers Federation, on some of the restoration of cuts that were made in the last Farm Bill to the program, but really just want to make the point, short-term, we need to resist those temptations to take care of just the small guys. So thank you very much, and Congressman Evans, Chairman Conway, I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in California.
Thank you, Rob. Up next will be Jim Parsons, and I believe it's Jane Subi, CCOF, will be after Jim.
Good morning, committee, Chairman Conway, members of Congress. I'm Jim Parsons. I farm in Congressman Valadao's district, and I live in his district. I also farm in Congressman McCarthy's district. I farm dryland wheat, irrigated wheat, organic wheat, corn silage, alfalfa, lettuce for seed, and we're trying cotton this year for the first time. I have used the Farm Bill in the past. The crop insurance program I use for the wheat and the oranges. I'd like to see it continued. I would not like to see the AGI reduced. I do farm with my nephews, so there's more than one in the operation. I'd like to see the FMD and the MAP program continued because the bulk of my operation is wheat, and we do happen to have an oversupply of wheat right now. Research, I would like to see that continued. ARS lab, when I visited it a couple years ago, was working on a program to get gluten out of wheat. I don't know how successful they've been, but they have been doing it. Also, some years back, we had a rust problem in California, and I planted a variety that was supposedly rust resistant, and it was. But eventually, they came out with 515, which is some genes that are resistant to rust, so I sold my entire crop and purchased the 515 and went that way. I would like to thank the committee for letting me speak to them today.
Thank you, Jim. We'll have Jane Subi and then Colleen Rebecca.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, Chairman Conway, for convening a Farm Bill hearing session here in California, the mightiest agricultural state in the nation. And thank you, Congressman Denham, for hosting this meeting. I'm Jane Subi. I'm the Senior Policy Specialist for California Certified Organic Farmers. CCOF is a nonprofit organization that advances organic agriculture for a healthy world through organic certification, education, and advocacy. We represent 3,500 certified organic operations across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And here in California, we certify 2,000 organic farms and ranches. Organic production offers a remarkable opportunity for farmers and ranchers. It has reached $6 billion in farm gate value in the United States in 2015. California's organic farms and ranches produce 40% of the total, producing $2.4 billion of organic farm gate value. Together with the value of California's organic processed products, gross value of certified organic sales in California was $12.34 billion in 2016. Using a multiplier, we calculate that this has created 259,000 jobs in the state. To support existing organic farmers and ranchers and to create conditions that will attract new producers to organic, the organic infrastructure must be strong. We have submitted written feedback to the committee on our Farm Bill priorities and will today emphasize our top three. First, keep the National Organic Program strong. The National Organic Program is responsible for overseeing and enforcing organic standards in 50 states and overseeing the international organic supply chain. It's a big job, and they need adequate resources to do it. Second, bring dedicated organic research funds to baseline levels. We hope and request that the entire California congressional delegation that sits on this committee will recognize the importance of research and sign on as co-sponsors of the Organic Agriculture Research Act, which will provide much-needed stability to the organic research and extension initiative. Third, please maintain the organic certification cost share program. It's important in making certification accessible to growers of all scales.
We'll need to wrap up because we're going to try to get through everybody. So if you could put your comments in by written.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thanks. We're going to really keep the time close because we want to get everybody in. So we have Colleen Rebecca and then Alan Moy.
Hello, Chairman Conway and members of the Ag Committee. I'm Colleen Rebecca. I work at St. Anthony's in San Francisco. We are a special place that's located in the Tenderloin neighborhood of San Francisco, one of the poorest neighborhoods of the city. We've been around 67 years, and our flagship program is a free meal program. We serve an average of 2,400 meals a day. That's almost 900,000 meals a year to low-income, homeless, San Franciscans, working poor folks, people who are housed but still have a lot of trouble making ends meet, veterans, seniors, and people with disabilities. We think of ourselves as the hands below the government-funded safety net. We run our programs without government support. But we run our programs in partnership with programs like SNAP and other programs in our community that help to serve the folks that we take care of every day. Our mission is to help people with basic needs that they have today, but also work towards a time when we can be out of business because we don't have people who are struggling to feed themselves in our community anymore. It's in that spirit that I'm here today. I want to talk about the importance of the SNAP program to the people that eat in our dining room. About 35% of the folks that eat in our dining room receive SNAP as well. Without the SNAP program, we would see business booming at St. Anthony's even more than it currently is. It's an important support for folks that are struggling to make ends meet and are struggling to make their lives better. And there's also a part of the SNAP program that our county has opted into called Restaurant Meals, which allows homeless people and people without access to kitchens to be able to use their SNAP benefits to get prepared food so that they can be able to, you know, increase their stability with SNAP as well. Restaurant Meals is really important and helps SNAP work for people, even people that don't have kitchens at home. And if you have any questions about it, I'd love to talk more or submit my comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Colleen. We'll have Alan Moy and then David Apsher.
Good morning. My name is Alan Moy. I'm the executive director of the Pacific Coast Farmers Market Association. We are a nonprofit organization that operates more than 50 farmers markets in the San Francisco Bay Area. Our farmers markets provide economic opportunities for more than 260 California farmers. These are small-scale specialty crop farms, nearly all of them family-owned and operated. I strongly encourage you to keep the unique needs of these farms in mind as you craft the next farm bill. To be successful, these farms need three things: assistance to grow and harvest their crops on their farms, healthy markets in which they can sell those crops, and customers with the means to purchase their crops. The 2014 Farm Bill made great advances in each of these three areas. In California, under the very able management of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program has produced important research to assist small-scale farms with production, harvesting, and post-harvest handling. Markets for specialty crops are strengthened by the investment of USDA's Farmers Market Promotion Program and Local Food Promotion Program. And more customers are able to buy specialty crops from these farmers through investments in SNAP, the Farmers Market Nutrition Program, and the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Program, which Lupe spoke about, which also supports California's Market Match Program, of which we are a founding member. A disinvestment in any one of these three areas threatens the viability of the small-scale specialty crop farmers that we serve and thousands more like them. If we do not continue to support these programs that strengthen the small-scale farmer, we are also closing off the path to the new farmers that will follow. Hewlett-Packard started in a garage and Facebook in a dorm room. They started small and grew as they became successful. New farmers must have the same opportunity to start small, work hard, and grow their businesses. Without ongoing support for programs like the Specialty Crop Block Grants, Farmers Market Nutrition Program, and Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Program, that path to starting and growing a farm will be much more difficult. Thank you.
Thank you. David Absher and then Ben Feldman.
Good morning. My name is Dave Absher. We are involved in, low. Again, my name is Dave Absher. I'm here on behalf of the California Cattlemen's Association. We, as a family, are involved in California agriculture in five counties, stretching from Mariposa County to Modoc County. California beef production plays a prominent role in California's agriculture, and with $3.5 billion in cash receipts produced annually, ranching is California's fourth largest agricultural commodity. Farm Bill programs play an important role in helping ranchers withstand natural disasters like drought and improve the production efficiencies of our operations. Improving the regulatory climate in Washington, D.C. is also extremely important. Although many regulatory programs are not the product of the Farm Bill can and should be used to ease regulation on ranchers. We know well that the government intrusion in the marketplace disrupts the speed of commerce, and even regulations that are well-intended can actually harm, not help, our state's farmers and ranchers. In general, the principles we'd like to express here are: federal farm policy should not guarantee profit, restrict the operation of the competitive marketplace, dictate who can or cannot own cattle, be used as a vehicle to enact new regulations on the cattle industry that are cost prohibitive. The Farm Bill should be used to promote U.S. agriculture both domestically and abroad. In regard to fair trade and the GIPSA rule, the finalization of this rule will further disrupt commerce and create a trial attorney's dream by allowing any individual who believes they have been economically harmed due to bad trading practices to bring suit against a buyer with little or no evidence. In regard to Brazilian and Argentinian beef imports, California ranchers continue to oppose the importation of fresh and chilled beef from Brazil and Argentina. Ranchers promote and accept fair trade. However, this action by USDA leaves our nation's herds vulnerable to the outbreak of foot and mouth disease. In regard to trade, the export of U.S. beef plays an important role in returning the whole value of carcass to ranchers and producers across the beef production chain. In 2015, U.S. beef exports accounted for over $6 billion and $450 million in the export of California beef and beef products. Our largest trading partners, who purchase the greatest amount of U.S. beef, are Japan, Canada, and Mexico. It's clear that TPP is dead. However, we encourage the administration to move forward with the development of trade agreements that promote the export of U.S. beef.
We'll have to go with the rest on written, Dave.
Okay. Thank you for your opportunity.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Dave. We're going to have Ben Feldman and then Kevin from Second Harvest, and I'm having trouble with your last name. So, Ben.
Thank you to the Ag Committee members for being here today. My name is Ben Feldman. I work at the National Farmers Market Coalition, and I'm here today speaking on behalf of our thousands of farmers market and farmer members. This week is a significant one for farmers markets, with release of the Federal Reserve Report on Local Foods and Secretary Perdue's signing of the proclamation for National Farmers Market Week, which begins Monday. The report titled Harvesting Opportunity highlights the significant role local food and farmers markets in particular play in developing new and beginning farmers, improving long-term farm viability, and generating economic growth in rural communities. The report also notes the need for increased education, partnerships, and research, as well as investment and development in the sector. And to that end, I'd like to speak to you today about three programs. The first is SNAP at Farmers Markets. Ensuring a robust SNAP at all American farmers markets is critical for the health, nutrition, and choice of SNAP recipients and provides an important revenue source for farmers. Since 2014, the National Farmers Market Coalition has operated a low-cost wireless equipment program through a contract with FNS. In 2016 alone, this program supplied 892 wireless terminals to farmers and farmers markets. We would ask for support in resolving FNS's one location, one machine policy. This policy is both burdensome to markets and wasteful of taxpayer money. We appreciate the support that Ag Committee members have provided to us on this issue already. We'd also ask for your support in maintaining efforts to increase SNAP redemption at farmers markets. Related to the SNAP program is the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Program, which some commenters have already spoken to today. In its first year, this program generated over $14 million in additional funds for American farmers, and 75% of the participants report increasing consumption of fruits and vegetables as a result of the program. Please continue FINNE funding at or above previous levels. Preserve the local and direct to consumer priority that was included in the 2014 Farm Bill. We'd encourage you also to consider reducing matching requirements for farmers markets, especially at the pilot level, and simplification of the evaluation component. Last but not least, the Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program has been an effective and important factor in the growth of farmers markets over the last 10 to 20 years. A 2013 study found that the modest investment as a result of the FMPP grants, customer attendance increased by 47% and vendor sales by 27%. Please continue funding for this program at or above previous levels. Thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate that. I know a lot of people have waited, too, to get their words in, so I'm going to be a little really kind of tight on it. Kevin, and then Ron Ratto.
Kevin Huer, Second Harvest Food Bank, Santa Cruz County, based in California's beautiful Pajaro Valley. My message is about SNAP. When SNAP is strong, my food bank is strong, and my community is strong. When SNAP is weakened, my food bank is weakened, my community is weakened. Our food bank runs a pretty lean operation. For every single dollar that we receive, we can turn that into four healthy meals. That's a good thing because I have to feed about one in five local residents in our service area. Some of your colleagues have proposed a 25% cut to SNAP, so I just want to give you a little perspective of what that looks like from my seat. As we heard, you know, for every single bag of groceries that a food bank can distribute, SNAP does 19. So what that means is when I make my delivery to the senior center, for every one bag that I can hand out, that means there's five seniors that may have to choose between looking at their prescription refill and their food budget. When I go out to the Head Start Center and distribute bags of food to the parents, it means five kids might have to wonder, why isn't mom sitting down at the dinner table anymore? When I go and deliver out to the VFW, it means five veterans might have to think about getting that PG&E shutoff notice. So that's what cuts to SNAP look like in my neck of the woods. And this is in one of the most bountiful ag-producing regions in the richest state in the greatest country in the world. SNAP is highly effective. It's highly cost-effective at reducing hunger and hardship, boosting nutrition, and supporting a healthy economy, especially with our ag partners. I want to say thank you to Chairman Conway for standing up to those who would like to take a slash-and-burn approach to SNAP. Your level-headed approach to look at policy analysis and to really listen to the needs and the stories of the community is much appreciated. Lastly, I just want to say that without SNAP as a strong first line of defense, I cannot make up the difference. The food is not there, and the dollars are not there. So it only means more hunger, more hardship, and more lost opportunities for vulnerable people and communities struggling to get on more stable footing. Simply put, SNAP works.
We'll have to end it there, Kevin. Sorry.
All right.
I'm going to get just out of respect for those that are still here. So, Ron Ratto, and then Ellie Zegas.
Good morning, Chairman Conway and Congressman. Thank you for coming to Modesto along with your staffs. Ratto Brothers is a 100-year-old grower of fresh market vegetables. We're harvesting vegetables every day to present in the produce markets and retail grocery stores in California and elsewhere. Our biggest problem at the farm at this time is labor. We've tried to recruit labor at local grocery stores, at going to flea markets, visiting early morning bakeries, every which way we can think of. And although I realize it's not in the purview of your committee, it's the predominant problem that we have in our farm operation at this time. Another problem that we're experiencing in agriculture in California is nitrates in groundwater. It's an issue that affects communities up and down California, both at the farm level, but also in small towns. As the committee considers what to do in the farm bill, if there's a way that the committee can consider the issue of nitrates in groundwater and how it might assist communities that need to provide safe drinking water for its citizens, I urge you to do so. Other possibilities in the farm bill would be, what would be the possibilities for research? If you can consider research possibilities in automation and mechanization that would save labor. Another area of research would be into food safety. A third area of research would be into pest and disease issues and biologic controls of pests. Last of all, as you reconsider how to renew the SNAP program, please continue to include fresh vegetables and produce as a main feature of that program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Ellie Zegas, and then Mark McKean.
Thank you. Good morning, representatives. My name is Eli Zegas. I'm the Food and Agriculture Policy Director at a nonprofit organization, SPUR, based in the Bay Area with offices in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. I'm here today with two main asks for you. The first is to continue and expand healthy food incentive programs. Lupe talked about the Double Up Food Bucks program that we are working with her on in San Jose and Gilroy, and you've also heard about it from Alan Moy and Ben Feldman, as well as others. This is a program that works. It works in two ways. It makes healthy food more affordable for SNAP recipients, and it does that by providing matching dollars. In the last Farm Bill, the Congress provided $100 million for pilot programs, and we are a beneficiary of that as one of the grant recipients, as are many, many people across the country. This program works by making the healthy choice an easier choice to do as a supplement to SNAP. And we know that has public health impacts, and you've heard from many others how SNAP and more money for SNAP can help kids in school and adults be better workers. It's just good across the board. We also know it works, and this is what Lupe touched on, is that healthy food incentives support produce growers here in California and nationally in other places. Our program matches California-grown produce and gives SNAP recipients a coupon that they can then spend on any produce in the store. There are similar models I think you've heard about in other parts of the country, and having additional funding in this farm bill to continue these pilots and see how we can make this program permanent would be the right way to go. The last thing I'd like to say, as many others have said, healthy food incentives only work as a supplement to SNAP, and so we should be looking to keep the current levels of SNAP, not turn it into a block grant program, keep it as an entitlement program. We need to be expanding it, not cutting it, especially in high-cost areas of living like California. Thank you for your work, and I hope you'll take both of those into consideration.
Thank you, Eli. Mark McKean, and then Linda Crow.
Good morning. I am Mark McKean, a third-generation grower of row crops and permanent crops. My hometown is Riverdale, a small community in western Fresno County.
A little closer, Mark.
And recently, the fourth generation joined back in our farm. While cotton prices have improved slightly this year relative to prices of other commodities, cotton is still without an effective and equitable safety net. As you may or may not be aware, Pima is the cotton of choice for many growers in California. There are important policy considerations for extra long staple or Pima cotton, which is predominantly grown here in California. Overall, the ELS Cotton Competitiveness Program, the ELS Loan Program, and the Pima Trust Fund should be maintained with some slight improvements in the next Farm Bill. The industry is evaluating the potential for an increase in the loan rate of the ELS Loan Program in order to better reflect the relative market value of Pima cotton. Since this is a non-recourse loan without marketing loan provisions, there should be little, if any, additional government cost or exposure. Also, the ELS Cotton Competitiveness Program is not currently functioning as intended, given the recent shift in the countries that are major producers, importers, and exporters of ELS cotton. For the intended objectives of this program to be met, USDA needs to take steps to update the key price data being used. If USDA does not take these steps, then direction from Congress may be needed. I also want to add and stress the importance of EQIP dollars. California is a highly regulated place. These EQIP dollars have been extremely important for us to try to implement some of those practices that are necessary to become in compliance. So I thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Linda Crow and then Kelly Covolo.
Hi, thank you so much for coming. It's a delight to be here. My name is Linda Crow, and I'm a second grade teacher here in Modesto, California. I'm also on the board of directors for the National Education Association. And I'd like to give you the message from them. We'll be meeting you again in a few months. To protect and strengthen SNAP, we'd like no block grants, no structural changes, and no cuts. And basically what this means to me as a school teacher, since I look at the little faces in my classroom every morning on whether they're hungry or not. So 25 years ago, I actually saw students climbing trees to eat birds' eggs. Within the past 20 years, I've seen students going through garbage cans to take home food. Under SNAP and through the assistance of everybody in our community, we have been able to provide free or reduced breakfast, free or reduced lunch, and a snack in the afternoon for after-school program. We provide student education on nutrition, and through the Stanislaus Department of Agriculture here, we've been able to give them food samples. Try this, since they have little corner markets in the area where I live and work. The other thing is to provide a second cup of coffee program where we provide parent education on nutrition. And the fourth thing that we also provide at our school under SNAP is through United Way, the chef program. Every 2 weeks, they have a take-home bag featuring the items that they have been educated about, both their parents and the students in class, for them to try. All of these things would be severely harmed if SNAP is reduced. So I've been teaching for a long time, and I really don't want to see my students climbing trees, going after birds' eggs again. I really don't want to see them going through trash cans. And I really thank all of you for coming and listening to me. But as a school teacher, I cannot provide for the future of our country through education unless they're fed and ready to learn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. Kelly and then Rachel Tucker.
My name is Kelly Covello. I am president of the Almond Alliance of California. The Farm Bill is important to the California almond industry with respect to trade, conservation, bioenergy, technical assistance, research, and block grants. With respect to conservation, the almond industry has used EQIP funds to upgrade ag motors to help the San Joaquin Valley meet federal air quality standards. EQIP is historically underfunded and always oversubscribed. Additional funding for EQIP will help the California ag industry meet increasingly strict air quality regulations. With respect to trade, the Market Access Program, Foreign Market Development Program, and the Technical Assistance Program for specialty crops are very important to the almond industry as we export 70% of our crop. Additionally, we are looking at options to export our byproducts overseas. Despite the importance and success of these programs, MAP funding has not increased since 2006, and FMD funding has not increased since 2002. We urge you to increase funding in these programs, and we would ideally like to see MAP increase from $200 million to $400 million, and FMD funding to increase from $34.5 million to $69 million. Additionally, we fully support the Farm Bill's rural business development programs, but there is a need to expand job training programs. In the next 5 years, the agricultural job landscape of California will change. With the adoption of a new minimum wage and new agricultural overtime laws, coupled with rapid changes in science, technology, and mechanization, the ag jobs of today will not be the ag jobs of the future. Lastly, with respect to energy, we have a biomass crisis in California. Open burning is not allowed in the San Joaquin Valley, generally speaking. Cogeneration and biomass plants are closing and are becoming less available to our industry. Woody biomass produced in orchards and orchard removals can be used as feedstock for biofuels or bioenergy. However, USDA bioenergy programs have traditionally focused on row crops and ethanol production and do not take into consideration biomass from specialty crops. It's imperative that the biomass produced in fruit and nut orchards be eligible for USDA's bioenergy programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Rachel Tucker and then Pete Garbani.
Hello, Chairman Conaway, members of the House Agriculture Committee. My name is Rachel Tucker, and I'm here today on behalf of the California Association of Food Banks. We are a membership organization representing over 40 food banks across the state of California, including 6,000 local agencies that work in line with us to address and end hunger here in California. We operate the nation's largest food recovery program known as Farm to Family. Farm to Family distributes surplus healthy produce and fresh protein to our network of food banks. Farm to Family is a national program model connecting growers, packers, and shippers to food banks, setting a record 200 million in donated pounds in 2016 alone. In addition to the relationships that we've cultivated with our farmers and agricultural partners, Farm to Family also works very closely with our grocers and retail partners who provide fundamental sources of expensive but vital protein sources, things like meat and dairy that our food banks highly prize and certainly benefits the health and well-being of the clients and communities that we serve. And as proud as we are of the work that we do to address hunger here in the state of California, we know that we cannot reach everyone in our communities without the support of SNAP. SNAP is the nation's most important anti-hunger program. It serves over 4 million food insecure Californians, including 2 million children. And for this reason, we're deeply fearful of the impact of the House budget proposal and the impact that would have on our food banks. The current House budget would increase hunger and harm throughout the state of California, and our network of food banks would not be able to absorb the increased need and impact if those cuts are enacted, which is why we believe that SNAP must be maintained in its current program structure. SNAP also boasts significant economic benefit to the state of California. The program drives over $7 billion in local economic activity, particularly in our rural communities, and it's one of the most effective economic stimulus programs throughout the federal government, generating roughly $1.70 in local economic activity for every dollar that is spent in SNAP. We thank you for the opportunity to provide public comment and speak to the importance of the program. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Rachel. I'll do Pete, and then Cindy Lashbrook.
Good morning. My name is Pete Garbani, and I work for Lana Lakes, a national cooperative representing over 2,000 dairy farmers across the U.S. In fact, we have some dairy farmers in the Pennsylvania area, so glad to see you here, Congressman Evans. What I'd like to first say is that Lana Lakes supports federal policy through the Farm Bill that promotes an economically healthy and competitive U.S. ag sector. American farmers, ranchers, and the co-ops they own must have the certainty of a comprehensive five-year Farm Bill past 2018. We urge Congress to support a responsive safety net together with adequate funding that incorporates improved, comprehensive risk management tools, including Title I and crop insurance for producers and their cooperatives. On the lines of dairy, we urge Congress to improve the margin protection program for dairy producers and to support the development of an insurance program for milk through USDA's Risk Management Agency. We support efforts led by National Milk Producers Federation that will improve margin calculations, adjust premium rates and triggers, provide more flexibility in signing up for coverage, and develop other tools, including those outside of Title I, for producers to manage risk. On the lines of conservation, Lana Lakes wants conservation solutions to be in the best interest of farmer and supports voluntary incentive-based conservation solutions. We want farmer cooperatives to work alongside USDA to help farmers with the know-how and the tools to make the best decisions for their individualized situation. Lana Lakes offers to help USDA incorporate new technologies into conservation solutions as soon as they emerge. On the lines of international development, we support maintaining existing international food security and development programs, including Food for Progress, Food for Peace, and Farmer to Farmer, in order to build stability for a growing world economy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pete. Cindy Lashbrook, and then we'll do Catherine Smith.
Okay. I'm Cindy Lashbrook. I'm a co-owner of a farm on the Merced River about 30 miles south of here. We're certified organic for a couple reasons. One is that we have all this water edge, a lot of habitat, wild animals, and we live in the middle of our farm. And I've been certified organic since 1991. I've also been on the board of CCOF and on the board of Community Alliance with Family Farmers. So organic agriculture and family scale farming are super important to me and what we do. And I'm also a Merced College trustee, so having you use these venues has been great for me. I know the one in Salinas is, I think, at Hartnell. Okay, and basically the National Organic Program when it was developed, it was actually because organic farmers were saying there's too many people out there saying they're organic and they're not, so we asked it to happen. But we need it funded to a level that grows with organic farming as it's growing, plus to really be able to make sure that people can count on organic food being organic. So those of us that care and believe in organic, we want it to be well regulated and well looked after. So please keep that funding, and I think there's some proposals for upping the funding over the years. The specialty crop block grants, and I really want to thank your former colleague, and I know some of you weren't there yet, but Dennis Cardoza really fought to bring California agriculture into the whole farm bill. It wasn't much thought of before. So these block grants, we've seen a lot of local businesses, local agencies, local educational institutions really benefit from those, and we're able to customize that for our area. And so we're hoping those stay and do just as well. I'm almost there. Conservation programs really have to stay because farmers do a lot of environmental services and they don't normally make us money. So the EQIP grants, I'm hoping they stay, and that organic programs get funded to the same level as the...
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. We're going to go with Catherine Smith and then Anya Rodabaugh.
Hello. My name is Catherine Smith, and I'm a student of John H. Pittman High School in Turlock. I've just finished a Girl Scout Journey project dealing with nutrition. This project helped me learn about local foods and how they have a smaller carbon footprint and less loss of nutrition due to aging and transport. The Turlock Farmers Market at the fairgrounds is located in the heart of one of the poorer neighborhoods in Turlock. It makes healthy food easily accessible for the people who live there. They accept SNAP payments at that farmers market. This also helps benefit the local farmers who are selling their products there by increasing sales. It is important to our community to protect the SNAP program and not separate the bill from the farm bill.
Thank you. Anya, you got to be up here. I'm going to do Abigail Hart next, and then you got to be up here at the speaker because we're really, really close and we're really tight on time. There comes Anya. Abigail Hart after that. Yep. Go.
Good morning. My name is Anya Rodabaugh. I'm the CEO of Western United Dairymen. I will keep it brief because I understand you guys have been here for a while. It's hot. We need some different calculations associated with feed adjusters on the MPP program. So we're going to go ahead and submit our comments in the long, lengthy fashion. But again, I appreciate your time today, and thank you for coming to California.
Thank you, Anya. Abigail Hart, and then we're going to have, I think it's Vernadette or Vernette Marsh.
Hi, good morning. My name is Abby Hart. I'm originally from a farming family in Ohio and transplanted to California. I'm the agriculture director for the Nature Conservancy, and I'm also a member of the California Roundtable on Agriculture and the Environment. I'm here to speak with you today, particularly about maintaining funding for the conservation title, in particular the Regional Conservation Partnerships Program. As you know, we're coming out of a historic drought in California, and we also recently have groundwater legislation that was passed that is going to cause dramatic changes to agriculture in our state. We see the Farm Bill as creating lots of opportunities for farmers to partner with people in the conservation sector on developing programs, innovative programs to achieve groundwater sustainability. The Regional Conservation Partnerships Program supports collaboration among producers, land and water managers, and conservation partners. But we want to see two things, in particular, more funding directed to the Regional Conservation Partnerships Program and that it has flexibility. For instance, that NRCS could use an umbrella organization like an RCD or a water district to distribute the funding. We've supplied written comments, so I'll leave it at that, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Abigail. Vernette?
Yes, I'm Vernette Marsh. I'm from Clusa County, and I'm glad to see LaMalfa here. Our family's a seventh generation farmer, but I'm also a public health nurse for many, many, many years. I support the ongoing food programs, the SNAP programs. I would like to see someone take a look at the internal operation of food stamps, SNAP, and all of them for their nutritional content. The distribution has been to allow the families to make their own choices. I think education within it is good, but there's too much junk food being allowed to be purchased with using the nutrition programs. And I would like to see the junk food portion of it. I've been told the cereal people will be angry, but sorry, sugar cereal, candy, cookies, those foods are not nutritious foods, and I would like to see some way them being taken out. And I think SNAP does a good job, WIC does a good job, but there's the other segment that needs to be looked at.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vernette. We're really close. We're 11:55. We have two more, Mr. Chairman. I'll give them a minute each, if that's okay with you, so that that way we cover them all. I know some of these have already been covered, but Janet McCarthy and Chris Wynn, if you'll come up. And we do want to stay on time, but I'm going to ask you to just be brief, but you've been waiting, so.
Good morning. My name is Janet McCarthy. I'm from Folsom, California. I'm a Humane Society of the United States District 7 leader volunteer. Animals are at the center of so many agricultural operations, and we should not forget about them as the farm bill is developed. I ask that you please consider the Opportunities for Fairness in Farming Act, or H.R. 1753, which has been referred to the House Agricultural Committee. Farmers don't want to pay into checkoff programs that work against their interests. The OFF Act encourages market fairness, prohibits disparaging or deceptive statements, and promotes transparency. Checkoff programs have repeatedly acted beyond their statutory mandate. They create anti-competitive marketplace practices and engage in collusive and illegal relationships that entail the use of checkoff funds to influence legislative and executive action against family farmers who value traditional husbandry practices. Not only that, but these programs advocate against advancing animal welfare initiatives. I thank you for your consideration to support measures like H.R. 1753 when putting together the Farm Bill, which will help to level the playing field for small family farmers.
Thank you. Chris?
Chris Wynn, volunteer with the U.S. Humane Society. I hope you will consider serious-minded animal welfare policies and include them in the Farm Bill. Since the USDA is responsible for implementing and enforcing major animal welfare laws, I ask you to oppose H.R. 2887, the States' Rights Elimination Act. This measure is an even broader and more dangerous version of Representative Steve King's failed farm provision bill provision 4 years ago. It is an attack on California agriculture and on animal welfare. More than that, it would nullify hundreds and perhaps even thousands of state laws, rendering states helpless to enforce their own rules on topics ranging from agriculture and food safety to animal fighting. Examples of state laws that it could affect include governing water rights, diseased livestock, dangerous pesticides, labeling of farm-raised catfish and salmon, puppy mills, horse slaughter, dog meat, the list goes on and on. The National Conference of State Legislatures, which represents all state lawmakers from both parties, calls H.R. 2887 one of the most coercive, intrusive, and preemptive legislative measures ever introduced in Congress. The National Governors Association also opposes...
We're going to have to wrap it there. Thank you.
Yep,
we got it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're 3 minutes over your allotted time. We thank you for coming to Modesto for this important dialogue and bringing your committee members here, and really appreciate being a part of this.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your work this morning. Thank each of you for coming and visiting with us this morning, particularly those of you that shared your personal stories on SNAP. That's really helpful to get that into the record. We appreciate that. You've just witnessed something that not people ever get to see, and that's five members of Congress being relatively silent for 2.5 hours. I appreciate my colleagues coming this morning to be a part of this exercise in democracy and exercise and getting it right. I want to thank the Modesto Police Department and the local campus police as well for their security arrangements this morning, top-notch. Appreciate the school, Dr. Borges, our Dean Borges, for all of your help in making this happen. I want to thank my staff and all the other staffs who participated in this, making this happen this morning and making that move forward. We have challenges on the Farm Bill. Not many of the presenters this morning asked for less money. I don't remember hearing one ask for less money. And so as the five of us and the rest of our colleagues on the committee pray diligently for the wisdom of Solomon as we move forward to try to address all of the issues that you mentioned this morning and how we take scarce resources and apply them to the best of our ability and knowledge for the welfare of the most number of people in this country is an important task that we're on the stage of about to embark on that, and we've been on it for quite some time. When people ask why the Farm Bill, here's a story, is a fact. The top 20% of the economic food chain in America, those people in our society who make the most money, spend more on food than the bottom 20% of the economic food chain make in disposable income. Think about that. And so as my colleagues and I examine changes to the Farm Bill, the current Farm Bill, you can hate it or you can love it, but it delivers the most abundant and safest and affordable food and fiber supply of any developed country in the world. You and I as consumers get a deal every time we eat. Every time we go to the grocery store, every time we go to a restaurant, we spend less on food than anybody else in the world. Now, we all love getting a deal, but this instance, we don't know we're getting a deal, and most of us don't know why we're getting that deal. So I'm going to deputize every one of you in here to begin to tell that story, because in addition to the farmers and ranchers to benefit from the Farm Bill and the SNAP beneficiaries who benefit, anybody who eats in this country benefits from this Farm Bill. We need them telling their members of Congress, support the work that gets done as a part of this Farm Bill process. And I'm going to need your help to make that happen and get that there. The work will get going. We're going to be having one more listening session at least in Illinois. Appreciate again everybody sharing with your heart this morning, those of you that were able to testify. And this was the only meeting so far where everybody got to say at least something. And again, I appreciate that. Let me quickly take my member of Congress hat off and just talk to you about something that I think is also of importance that faces our nation. September, we'll celebrate the 230th anniversary of our Constitution. 230 years of living in this republic, living in this free society, living in a self-governing society that has developed all the opportunities and all the challenges and struggles, but more so opportunities than any other nation ever. John Adams wrote that only a moral and religious people can self-govern, that amoral and immoral people have to have a different scheme altogether because they will not voluntarily comply with the laws and rules that confront them, even the ones they don't like. And so as we look at that, we've got a struggle. When Benjamin Franklin, who was the oldest framer of the Constitution, came out of that experience, he was asked by a woman, "What have you given us, good doctor, a monarchy or a republic?" And he looked at her and said, "Madam, a republic, if you can keep it." Think about that phrase, if you can keep it. For 230 years, good Americans have kept this republic strong and has provided you and I with the opportunities we've had. I'm generally concerned that because only a moral and religious people can self-govern, that we're losing the ability to self-govern, and by extension, we will lose this republic if we don't turn this nation's heart around. All of us see things going on in this country every day that God cannot and will not bless, and the list is almost endless. Well, what do we do about that? How do we address that? It is not a legislative fix. We can't fix it in Congress or the State House or the local county commissioners courts or city councils. This is something I have to fix and you have to fix. Well, you fix it by living a code. I live the Judeo-Christian model. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I try to live His tenets every single day, and some days I'm better at than others. But you have to live a code as well. You and your family, your neighborhood, community, see, all of us have those concentric rings of influence where every day we have to stand up for the truths and the values that have supported and sustained this republic for some 230 years. We've got good men and women in uniform who stand in the breach every day around this world to protect us from bad guys. They put their lives on the line to make that happen. I'm asking you to put something on the line as well. Be a part of that group that's going to reclaim that moral high ground, that's going to claw back the moral authority to continue to self-govern. Because if we don't do that, then at some point, the history of this nation will be written that says that long, slow, miserable decline in oblivion that was the grand experiment in self-governance began in the second decade of the 21st century. You and I do not, I believe, want to be a part of that exercise. So think about from time to time what we ask God to bless, and then today think about what you'll do from this point forward to reclaim that moral high ground that will allow us to extend this self-governance scheme and also protect the republic. As Benjamin Franklin asked, it's a republic, madam, or stated, it's a republic, madam, if you can keep it. Again, thanks for each one of you for being here. Be that keeper of the republic that each of us has to be. God bless each one of you. God bless Texas. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you being here.